You're listening to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast, episode number 114, all about how to see through the mess and declutter your life. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast, stories of vibrant women living happy lives. And now your host, Jen Ryday.
Hey there, welcome to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast. I'm Dr. Jen Ryday, and welcome back. Vibrant Happy Women is all about helping you make that journey from burned out to taking better care of yourself, loving yourself, healing relationships, and ultimately living your purpose, which feels so amazing because you're doing the things you were born to do, living your life in balance with meaning and fulfillment. Welcome back to the show. Last week, I chatted with Whitney Hansen. We talked about becoming financially savvy. Many women don't care a lot about their finances and they leave that to men. But I think part of being an empowered woman is taking control of all areas of our life so that we know what's happening and we have more choices, and that leads to more freedom. So if you haven't listened to that episode, you'll love it. It's at jenryday.com/113. And today's guest is Tracy McCubbin. And we're talking about decluttering, specifically about mindfulness. In this episode, Tracy and I talk about the mindful closet, and you'll learn what that means in a moment, and also taking that mindfulness to all areas of the home so it feels the way you want it to feel, which, if you're like me, you want it to feel vibrant and happy. Let's go ahead and jump in and learn what it means to mindfully declutter. Tracy McCubbin is a decluttering expert and author of the forthcoming book, The Clutter Code, coming in spring of 2019. Tracy has always referred to herself as obsessive compulsive delightful, but who knew she could turn that trait into a booming business? Over the years, Tracy discovered she had the ability to see through any mess and clearly envision a clutter-free space. Coupled with keen time management and organizational skills, Tracy soon found more and more people were asking her for help. And before she knew it, Declutterfly was born. Tracy has completed over 1,200 decluttering and organizing jobs all over the country. Tracy lives in a loft in downtown LA, and we're so glad you're on the show, Tracy.
I'm so excited to be here. I'm super, super excited.
Yay!
I love happy, vibrant women.
Well, thank you.
They're my favorite things.
Well, and I love talking time management organization. So this is a match made in heaven.
Somebody said to me recently, Jen, they said, the key to happiness is time management. And I thought, you know, you might be right.
You know, I think it's true. Just making sure your priorities take the front seat instead of the back seat. Yeah. Well, let's have a quote that you want to share with us today and then hear your story.
Well, it's interesting. My assistant got me a birthday present and she asked me, she said, what's your favorite quote or what's your motto? And I thought, well, I don't know. And then I texted her back and I said, March 4th. And my birthday is actually March 4th. And it is the only date in the calendar that's also a sentence. And I've always kind of said it. And I thought, you know, that's it. Like, I just keep on keeping on, like March 4th. I mean that in sort of the like powerful, strong way of walking into the future. So I just recently made that my motto and I'm super into it.
I like it. It reminded me of Just Keep Swimming, but March 4th has a lot more power to it. You know, you're like determined. You're not just swimming around.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what when I said it and she got me this really cute market bag and it had it printed on the outside and I'm like, aww. I love this.
Oh, that's so good. Well, tell us your story. You know, were you born able to organize and manage time? Did you have to learn it? You know, how did that look for you?
You know, I definitely was organized from a very young age. I also, part of my story is I'm the child of a hoarder. My dad is an extreme hoarder. So I grew up seeing the other side of it. He and I didn't live together for most of my childhood because my parents got divorced, but I saw his battle with that. So for me, being organized was a way to maintain control and to kind of make order out of chaos. So I definitely, in terms of stuff, that was all along. I really liked shoes lined up. I liked my closet color-coded. You know, I liked to know where everything was. Time management was something I had to learn. Mm-hmm. It was something that I had to, I'm a procrastinator by nature. So I had to really explore kind of where it was affecting my life and really teach myself some things. My niece is graduating from high school and is going off to college. So we are deep in the conversation about time management. Mm-hmm. And here's another thing I just said to her yesterday. I said, you know, you got to plan your work and work your plan. Someone had said that to me years ago. And so that's something that I am constantly refining, if that makes sense. I don't think we ever sort of fall into a way of being and then it works forever as your life alters. Like right now, I'm writing a book and running a business and, you know, trying to work out and have a social life. So I've had to learn how to redefine my time management within those new parameters.
Right. And it's constantly changing as life changes.
Constantly changing. And your priorities change. You know, it used to be that I wanted to have my free time to go out, you know, 5 nights a week and meet friends and go to the movies. And now I'm like, you know what I really want to do? Watch Law and Order SVU. So it is interesting. I think that's one of the things that I tell my clients all the time, that time management is fluid. And in the same way that you will never, it's an unrealistic expectation to think that you're going to have an empty to-do list. Like you're never going to have an empty email inbox. You're never going to have an empty to-do list. So instead of sort of working for this goal that's impossible, mm-hmm. it's about kind of chunking up your time and getting things done.
Right. And choosing what you're going to say no to as well.
Yeah. It's a huge part of it. Though as you get older, saying no gets easier.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
I think, you know, I'm in the age where my friends' parents are starting to pass and we're losing a little bit of friends and, you know, the first of that wave. And I think life just gets a little more precious, or you see how fast time goes. And I think you want to just not waste it doing things you don't enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Time's going too fast. And hey, I want to be happy now. What the heck?
Yeah. 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 Well, somebody said to me that the days are long and the months are short. And I thought, oh yeah, that's how it feels these days. So for me, it's just, I want to be doing what I want to be doing. And I don't mm-hmm. want to, you know, that's it. And being happy, exactly, in a really simple way.
Well, so if someone feels, let's imagine, I think everyone out there would be able to say they feel overwhelmed at times. Where do you tell people to start if you were to give advice on organizing, minimizing, simplifying, all of the things you teach?
Yeah, that's such a great question. So the first thing that I tell people to do is to create a vision for the way they want their home to run and to look, right? So, you know, I'll go into clients' houses and they'll have downloaded all these things on Pinterest and show me their Pinterest board. And they say, I want a pantry that's completely decanted and chalkboard labels. And every jar says Cheerios and nuts. And, you know, and I'm like, okay, well, that's a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And you have 4 kids and you have a job. So I ask people to create a vision for how they want their house to look and how they want it to run. And then we work backwards for the trouble spots. So for instance, you know, I moved a family in, they have 3 girls. I moved into a new house and, you know, they got to get everybody out the door and on the bus and out the door to work. And it's crazy. And she said to me, you know, this is going to sound weird, but I need a hair station in my kitchen. I need brushes and hair bows and sunscreen. Mm-hmm. And I was like to me, I was like, oh, hairbrushes in the kitchen. But she's got to do 3 little girls' hair in the morning while feeding them and get out the door. So it was like, well, that works for you. And, you know, she said to me, she texted me the other day, she goes, this hair station makes me so happy. So I tell people to look at not only what they want their house to look like and how they want it to flow, but also then to go, what's not working? Where are you getting log jammed? So for example, if getting dressed in the morning is just a nightmare, you know, you're trying things on, you're throwing them on the chair and you can't, you know, I say, start with your closet.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like look where your log jams are and then start in those places.
Look for the log jams. Well, what are typical log jams you see?
Closets are a great one. You know, we only wear 20% of our clothes 80% of the time. So people have way too many clothes and then closets are stuffed and they're not categorized. You know, the reason to have a categorized closet, shirts with shirts, skirts with skirts, pants with pants, mm-hmm. is to make getting dressed easy. Oh, my shirts are right here. My pants are right here. Here are my shoes. Put it on. Get out the door.
Yeah.
You know, right? But people, it's counterintuitive to people sometimes. Another big logjam I see for people is paper, mail and paper. You know, people are just overwhelmed with the amount of mail that comes in and the amount of paper that they keep. And so, you know, that's a question of telling people, like, read your mail over the shredder. You know, don't, right?
Yeah, right. That's so smart.
It's such a simple, it's like a game changer for people. They're like, right, I just read my, then you get rid of half. Then never go more than 3 days without reading your mail. Mm-hmm. And have an actionable spot. So a spot where you put the stuff that you need to deal with and you know exactly where to go get it. It's about setting up habits, about setting up, you know, the keys belong in three places. In the car ignition, or not many cars anymore, your purse, or a bowl by the front door, or a hook by the front door. That's it. Keys don't belong anywhere else. Because you need to always know where to go exactly to look for them. So what I like to do is help people set up really simple, concrete changes that work moving forward.
Yeah, that's smart. So what would the process look like where you're walking them through this vision? Do you have them go throughout their day, imagining each step of what they're doing and where they get stuck?
Well, yeah, if they get me in person, we walk through the house top to bottom and I take copious notes and we, you know, figure out like, you know, okay, you know, this isn't working, you know, like the kitchen isn't working. And it's like, okay, you know, I just did some clients that had somebody else unpack their kitchen. They moved into a great loft in New York. And the person that unpacked just didn't understand kitchen flow. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, well, you have your fancy crystal glasses above the dishwasher and your coffee mugs are in the hutch across the street, you know, across the kitchen. Like it was a rethinking of that.
Yeah.
So I walk people through their house. The great thing is in the book that's coming out, I'm going to take people through their houses room by room by room. So I'm going to break down each room, the entryway to the living room, to the dining room, so that people can really focus on the part, either the whole house or the parts that don't work for them.
That sounds great. And that's coming in another year. It's called The Clutter Code, right?
Yes. As of right now, it's coming spring 2019, Ooh. Not even a year.
Oh, so yeah.
Oh. It's so exciting. So, you know, I think it's telling, you know, so I think it's really identifying, you know, because when I walk into a client's house, they're like, my house is a disaster. We are so, and I'm like, okay, let's pull back a little. What isn't working? As a family, can you guys all sit and eat dinner together at the dining room table? A lot of my families are like, no, we have too much crap on it. So we need to start there. You know, can you park your car in your garage? Is that what you want to do? You know, can your kids tidy up and clean their room in a half an hour? You know, can the playroom be put away at the end of the night? Or, you know, also is your house full of, you know, I help a lot of people with what we call transitional decluttering. So after a divorce or after somebody's passed away. And so a lot of times I'll go into a house and it'll just be full of sad memories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so like, okay, maybe we can let some of that stuff go or box it up and get it out of eyesight.
Wow, that's big. Well, do you ever have people call you up and just say, help me organize my whole house? I mean, do you do that kind
all
of thing?
All the time. All the time. We do lots of top to bottoms. You know, also what happens, you know, I work with seniors who've been in a house for a long time and they'll say, we've been here for 40 years. Our kids are grown. Our grandkids are on their way. We don't want to move, but we just have too much stuff. So we sort of, that house will approach it. How do we kind of reduce the clutter and then also keep the house safe so that they can stay living in their house as long as possible?
Yeah.
You know, and then also families, they sort of have babies, they get through toddlerdom where they're like, okay, we can breathe now. And then, you know, it's shifting the house to accommodate how the family's living now. Sport, everybody's playing sports and everybody's on a different food plan. And, you know, so it's really looking at, I just want people's homes to work for them. I want them to be happy in them. I want them to, you know, love them, and I want them to work, because at the end of the day, your home is a tool,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a mind shift that I'm trying to get people in to say, like, yes, of course you want a beautiful home and, you know, nobody loves that stuff more than me, but you also need it to work for you.
You live in a loft in LA, and you mentioned before we began recording that you're trying to live your talk. Tell us more about what that looks like to really make our homes be the tool we want it to be with the decluttering and minimizing kind of movement that seems to be growing.
Yeah. So for me, I really, the kind of the first place I started, I mean, I moved into a loft. So I went from a craftsman with five closets, you know, and 1700 square feet to 900 square mm-hmm. feet with two closets. Mm-hmm. So I really had to pare down, and it's fantastic. I haven't missed a thing. I haven't thought about anything. I haven't you know, it's been great. For me, it really, the place I started in my own life was the closet. I got really pared down. I got rid of the stuff I hadn't worn. And I just was trying to be very mindful about buying less and buying higher quality, better made things so that I could keep them longer. And that was a really, really, really big shift because I admittedly, you know, get a bit of a high from shopping. There's a lot that comes along with that. So I had to get kind of reckon with that and be like, okay, for me, fast fashion, you know, clothes that you wear for one season and you throw away because you only paid $9 for them, wasn't resonating with how I wanted to be living my life and how I wanted to kind of acknowledge what's going on with the planet. So I just got really mindful about, okay, where are my clothes being made and where are my shoes being made? And maybe this is more than I want to pay, but I just recently resold a pair of shoes that I've had for 25 years. Yeah, they were my first expensive, you know, I paid $350 for them 25 years ago, which was a fortune. And I just had them resold and I still wear them all the time.
Really?
Yeah. So I started my mindfulness in my closet.
Okay. So have you heard of the capsule wardrobe idea? And what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's great. I think it's great. I know a lot of people who do it. I think it's fantastic. A lot of my clients and friends who travel a lot for business, it's really successful for them. And it's great. And so I think, you know, and sometimes I admittedly recently started working with a stylist because I'm doing so much on camera stuff. And I was like, I don't know what to do. And she really believes in that. Like, you know, here are some of the core pieces that you need. Here's where you spend the money. You know, here's a few other pieces. And then you can switch it this way. Like, here's this beautiful blouse. You can wear it this way, or you can put a white tank top underneath it, or you can put it under a blazer. And her mindset is really, you know, trying to get 5 and 6 different outfits out of the same pieces. And it's been fantastic. I don't stress out when I open my closet. I'm like, oh, everything goes together. I've got everything I need. I really, and I have seen this in play. I've been doing this for a very long time. And I can say this with confidence that I really think a smaller curated closet with good choices is so much easier to deal with than someone with tons and tons of clothes.
So where do you like to shop for your favorite, you know, high quality pieces? Are there brands you recommend?
You know, I really like this brand Equipment. I'm obsessed with these shoes out of New York called Kokilo. It's a woman shoemaker who's fourth generation and she has her shoes made in Mallorca and they're all sustainable and they're technically comfort shoes, but they have a little bit of a heel. So, you know, I just am trying to ask more questions. And look, of course, I mean, I just recently bought, you know, 5 t-shirts from Zara because they were good t-shirts and I'll wear them through the summer. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, you can't ever, but it's about, for me, I would say the decluttering movement, the minimalist movement, the real key to it is a mindfulness, right? Making choices, thinking about, okay, this shirt that I bought, you know, at the Gap, where was it made? And what does that, you know, what does that mean to have a shirt made in Bangladesh? Who's making it? How's it getting here? So it's, you know, it's about an awareness. And, you know, interestingly, I think the mindfulness movement, I love a lot of it. I think it's a lot of pressure. And I think it's real hard for people to live that way. But I think that having that conversation and having it kind of be that extreme is helping a lot of other people become aware of how they're consuming.
Right. And then shifting the bar, shifting the boundary for everyone. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's the same thing about sort of, you know, vegetarianism. Like, I'm never going to be a vegetarian. But when you start to go, oh, wow, these are the effects that, you know, growing beef has on our planet. Okay, you know what? I'm going to eat beef once a month.
Right.
And I'm going to eat vegetarian dinners twice a week. Like, you know, I'm a big fan of, I'm not an extreme person. So I think a lot of little steps make a huge difference.
So taking that conversation from mindfulness in the closet to...
I love that. Yeah. Mindfulness in the closet.
There's your book title, your secondary. Taking that title and thinking about mindfulness in the whole home, mindfully purchasing things. I'm recording this. My office is in my bedroom. I have 6 kids, so I don't get to have an office space right now. But, you know, how do you begin to think mindfully as you're walking around doing this process and thinking, how do I want my home to look? How do you know what you need to keep or get rid of, what you should purchase if it's the quality you want or need? I mean, any guidelines on how we can remember what to focus on.
Absolutely. Here's the thing I tell people. The very first shift that you can make that is super, super simple is when you're out in the world and you're thinking, I hear people say all the time, oh, I need a new pair of jeans. I need a new sweater. And I'm always like, you don't. You have 10 pairs of jeans. You have 5 pairs of jeans. You want a new pair of jeans. So just change your language. Start there.
Because
when you start to go, oh, right, I don't need it. I want it.
I like that.
Yeah, sometimes it's easier to do. So one of the other things that I tell people is I have these 5 questions. And this is actually something I would love to do this. I have a guide for this. I call it the Should It Stay or Should It Go guide. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to offer it to your listeners.
Okay.
So maybe you and I got a way to do that. It's just a little PDF and it'd be great to get them to them if they want it.
Yes, I'll put a link on the show notes page at jenriday.com/114. We'll have a link to that guide. Should It Stay or Should It Go guide? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, okay. Perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. So one of the things I tell people, so these are the 5 questions when you're looking at any item, and this applies to any item in your house. So number one, do you use it on a semi-regular basis? And by semi-regular, I mean more than once a year. You know, for example, I have this giant turkey platter that's huge and it's kind of hard to store, but I use it every Thanksgiving. I have hosted Thanksgiving for 24 years. I use it every Thanksgiving. It stays. You know, if you have an old sleeping bag that you haven't been on a camping trip in 10 years, that can go. So the first question is, do you use it on a semi-regular basis? The second question is it making you money? So is this something, this is an item that you use to generate income.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this doesn't mean the pile of junk you have in the corner that you're thinking someday you're going to have a garage sale on a list on eBay. That does not count. Then do you have a place to store it? Do you really, really have a place to store it? Like I'm saying, you know, not your old wedding dress shoved in underneath the bathroom sink. I mean, you know, a place in the garage, an appropriate place to store it. It can stay. So semi-regular basis, is it making you money? Do you have a place to store it? And do you love, love, love it?
Ah.
Because there's just some stuff we love, right?
Yep, exactly. Spark joy from Marie Kondo.
Exactly. And look, you know, I think that's a great way to start. But I also think that, you know, sometimes people get a little tripped up over that because I had a client say to me the other day, she said, well, this was funny. She said, is guilt-tinged sentimentality the same thing as joy? I was like, well, you know, but there's some things in our life that are tools, right? So you're like, well, this screwdriver, I don't know if it sparks joy, but it's really handy and I need it. So I think, you know, we can go a little bit deeper into how the things that we use in our house.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It's funny for me, I would imagine you would have the same joy, but for me, letting something go gives me joy, like a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. It's almost a little mm-hmm. disturbing for my husband who gets joy from nothing ever changing.
Right.
So
right.
It's funny to think about the psychology behind, you know, you said your dad was a hoarder, but you know where that's all coming from, why we all feel we're deriving pleasure from these objects. And then when you apply mindfulness to think, hey, you know, maybe I can find some joy from another thing and not have to purchase one more item, but I'm going to go on a walk instead or sit under this tree. It's all free and I don't have to collect it and maintain it. And just changing that thinking is so interesting.
Well, you know, I sort of did it instinctually and then I've been reading a lot about what they've been talking about, how they've been correlating people who are happy experience a lot of awe, A-W-E, mm-hmm. in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so oftentimes when I'm with a client and they're really wrapped around the axles or they're upset or, you know, we're going through a hard time, I'm like, let's take a walk outside, you know, like, and you sort of go like, look at that amazing tree. It's in bloom this time of year. Or look at those clouds that I have found when working with clients. If I can get them to experience a little bit of awe in nature,
mm-hmm.
it really cracks through something. Right? That
yes.
there's something sort of bigger and just takes them outside of ourselves. Because look, we get emotionally attached to our stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We imbibe all this meaning in it and we are, but at the end of the day, it's just stuff.
Right, right. And I've heard it said that a lot of times we will accrue extra pounds on our bodies to protect ourselves emotionally. I would imagine mm-hmm. there's a similar safety mechanism going on when we're accruing a bunch of stuff. It just makes us feel safe, or maybe we get the dopamine hit when we spend the money in the store and get to buy it. But I found the more I meditate and get really, really grounded with who I am inside and recognize that this person is completely independent of all the stuff and even all the other people around me, then I become less and less and less attached to stuff. I just really do want to be under a tree. And if I had my way and I wasn't with six kids and a spouse who likes to keep his stuff, we would be minimalists for sure. Living in a tiny house if we could, or something smaller. It would be so great. So,
yeah. You know, it's interesting. I definitely agree with you about the dopamine hits of shopping, but I kind of look at clutter. I think a lot of people have a lot of clutter or have a lot of stuff as a way to kind of stave off loneliness, you know, because they're always busy, right? I remember a friend of mine said to me years ago, I had a friend who was an on-again, off-again smoker, you know, one of those friends that you're like, really? You're not really quitting this time again? And she ended up having a kid, which changed everything, and quit and hasn't smoked since. But I remember her saying to me in kind of one of those times, she said, you know, here's the thing about smoking. She said, I'm never lonely, right?
Like, oh, wow.
I'm not home on a Saturday night by myself. You know, I'm having a cigarette and watching a movie. She said, you know, I'm not uncomfortable at a party. I'm out on the balcony having a cigarette. She said, you know, and I was like, oh, and I really see that with how people respond to clutter, right? It's busy, you know, you got to deal with it, right? I'm moving stuff around. I'm cleaning my closets. I got to get to that. It's really kind of a lot of make work. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a huge part of it, that we keep a lot of clutter to keep ourselves busy so we don't have to just sit with ourselves.
Wow, that's so profound. And I feel that's exactly why we make our lives too busy. People, when they first begin to meditate and get in touch with who they are, that whole mindfulness thing, a lot of them freak out because they are truly running from some painful memories, or they don't want to be with that quiet, reflective space. And so what do you recommend? You know, I guess you said you take people out into nature and have that moment of awe, but any other tricks for that where we're running from something?
You know, here's what I tell people when they start the decluttering process. Don't start with the hard stuff. Don't start with the family photos.
Right, right.
You know, don't start with the box of letters from the guy who broke your heart. Don't start there. You know, start with the really easy stuff. Start with the really simple, you know, and it's funny, I used to say to people, you know, start with the magazines. And then I have so many clients that are like, magazines? I can't let go of my magazines.
So,
start with what's easy for you to let go of and you know, kind of work up to it, which is fantastic, right? So sort of, you know, build on your success. So start with what's easy. For instance, if you're like, I have no attachment to my socks. I'm good. I can let go of socks. Like, go through your sock drawer and let go of the ones that don't have matches. Let go of the ones that the elastic's all worn out on. You know, and then put it back and you're like, oh, that felt really good. Like, I'm excited to get dressed in the morning. So start small and build on your successes and don't overwhelm yourself. And, you know, I always say, look, Rome wasn't cluttered in a day. You didn't get here overnight. So it's not going to get undone. And don't beat yourself up. It's really hard. It's a hard process. I have a very successful business. People fly me all over the country to do this. It's emotionally hard. It's physically hard. It's time consuming. It's doable and it's so satisfying. But, you know that you come by it honestly. That's what people are so hard on themselves.
Yeah, not shaming. Just slowly shifting and making the change. I like that.
Yeah.
Where could people find you if they want to learn more about you?
Oh, absolutely. So TracyMcCubbin.com, TracyMcCubbin.com is my website. I have a private Facebook page called Conquer Your Clutter with Tracy McCubbin. And it's a community of people who are dealing with clutter in a really safe space. And I've actually started to do some virtual declutterings on it. So group members, I'm doing a Facebook Live with them and we're decluttering a space in their house and the rest of the group can tune in and watch, which has been really fantastic. So that's a great place to find me is Facebook.
Oh, great. We'll have a link to that on our show notes at jenredi.com/114. Well, let's hear, Tracy, about a few of your favorite things. So you're a time management master, or at least we're going to give you that title. What does your morning routine look like when you first wake up?
You know, it's so interesting. I just changed my morning routine. I had to go on a little bit of medication that sort of takes a bit to kick in. I was having some thyroid issues. So, and I heard a speech about making your bed every morning. And I would make my bed before I left for the day, but I'd sort of wander around. And so I just recently shifted. So I wake up, I take my thyroid medication, I make my bed, and then I do a little gratitude exercise just in my head. I get 3 to 5 things I'm grateful for. And then I do these little stretches, and then I make my cup of tea, and then my day is off to the races.
Yeah. And you're doing some things that help you to feel good to start your day.
Exactly. And not sort of shot out of, you know, and I'm waking up a half an hour before I really need to be up. I used to push it to the limit. And now I'm, you know, now I'm a half an hour earlier, so I can kind of have moments, and I make my cup of tea, and then I turn on the Today Show. I like to watch a little bit of Savannah and Hoda, and, you know,
yeah,
and just not feeling so rushed in the morning. But the making the bed first thing, and I heard somebody give a commencement exercise and talk about it. And one of the things that they said was that the benefit of doing it is that the first task you set for yourself of the day, you are successful at. And so you're starting your day in success. And I was like, oh, that makes so much sense.
Ah.
So I've been doing it for about this little routine for about 2 months now, and it's a game changer. It's just a game changer.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, it's great. I just am like, oh, and then I come home, and you know, and I live in a loft, and the first thing I see is my bed, and I'm like, it looks so pretty. I love those pillows. Oh.
Oh, that's good. I might have to try it. I don't know. I've resisted that one for a long time.
It's interesting. I did too. And I didn't really kind of, and especially when I first moved to the loft and I was single by myself, I was like, I don't need to make the bed. It's only me. And then I was like, no, it's only me.
Yes.
I want to come home and see, you know, and like, I have all these pillows from fabrics I've collected on travels. And I'm like, I want to see that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's really a game changer. It's a really simple thing. It's 5 minutes and it changed. It just had a huge shift.
Oh, that's great. And what about simplifying your meals? What's your favorite easy, simple meal?
I'm a salad girl. If I can mindfully shop on Sunday, even get to the farmer's market and just have lots of vegetables and lettuce and some kind of protein, I make my own salad dressing that I got from my friends. My friend Jean's grandma taught her this recipe, and we call it granny's dressing because it was her granny that taught it to her. And I have a jar of that, and it's just, but it's, you know what it is? I find the mindfulness and the simplicity with meals comes in the pre-planning.
Really?
Right?
Okay.
Yeah, you got to have the ingredients. So.
Yeah, that's true. You have to have it there or else you're always running.
Yeah, exactly. Or ordering takeout and like, what? Where did this 5 pounds come from? Like,
yeah.
Oh, that.
What is your favorite way to boost your mood if you're having one of those days?
My favorite way to boost my mood is a Soul Cycle spin class.
Ooh.
That will just, I know they're not everywhere. I am lucky enough to live a half a block from a studio. That just changes it for me. Loud music and sweat. And I can just lose myself in the class. And it's a huge, you know, I love a good yoga class, but I can tend to, my monkey mind will get going. And in spin class, I'm like, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
Yeah.
So, you know, pedaling away. So that's a great way. And then if I don't have that, honestly, it's just a little bit of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Just to stop and go, here's 3 things I'm grateful for.
Exactly.
Here's 5 things I'm grateful for. And, you know, it just kind of, it flips you. Somebody once said to me, it's hard to be in upset, anger, and gratitude at the same time.
That's true. That is true. Just to force yourself to shift the thoughts. And what's your favorite book?
Oh, my favorite book ever is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Oh,
I reread it once a year.
Oh, yeah.
It's just my favorite book. Yeah.
Atticus. Everyone wants Atticus to be their dad.
I'm like, I think I could. I mean, and maybe it's the age of my life. I'm like, I would like to find an Atticus and marry
an
Atticus.
Yeah, let's do it. Everyone set an intention. Send the vibes for Tracy to find Atticus. Yes.
I love it. Oh, I love it. I love
there.
It.
Well, what does it mean for you to be a vibrant and happy woman? What's your formula?
Yeah, for me, it is, I think it is a combination of doing the work I love, my business, and being of service, finding some way to give back, and adding in a good solid dose of self-care.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, you have all of it.
Mm-hmm. you know, to really, like, I love my business. I love what I do. I love my clients. I bounce out of bed in the morning excited to do it. But, you know, there's just some days where I'm like, you know, I'm just going to take Sunday off. I'm not going to go on the iPhone. I'm not going to check my email. I'm going to watch a couple movies or wander around farmer's market or meet a friend for brunch. And I think as I'm growing older and as the business is getting more successful, I'm realizing how important really simple self-care is.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Rejuvenating. I agree. That combination. I also love the work I do and does make you more vibrant from the inside out when you know you've taken care of yourself and you're living your purpose and helping others. That's a great formula. I agree. Well, let's have a challenge from you to our listeners and then we'll say goodbye.
A challenge. Oh, I love it. Okay. I'm going to challenge all of your listeners to declutter and donate to a local charity 5 items of clothing.
Okay. All right. We can do it.
And by donate, I mean not put the bag in the backseat trunk of your car and drive it around for 6 months. but 5 articles of clothing. Everybody can do that. And especially, you know, now we're really making the shift. I mean, the weather's been so crazy this year, but, you know, we're really making a big seasonal shift. So look back at your winter clothes. It's a good place to start. Go, I didn't wear that stuff all winter. I can do it. So 5 items of clothing.
Okay. Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Tracy. I loved every minute of it.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Yes. Thank you for being here. Take care. Okay, my friends, hop to and go declutter something, anything. You're freeing up some energy for what really matters, those relationships, quiet time, thinking, whatever it is, a nap. Let me know how it goes. You can send me an email at support@jenridey.com and I'll be back later this week with a happy bit, and we'll continue our decluttering theme next week when I speak with Ali Casaza all about intentional simplicity. Ooh, right? I want that. All right, I'll see you next time. And until then, take care.
Thanks for listening to the Vibrant Happy Women Podcast at www.jenridey.com.